Joshua chapter 12, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now, these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side Jordan toward the rising of the sun from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon and all the plain of the east. Sihon, king of the Amorites who dwelt in Heshbon and ruled from Aroer, which is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and from the middle of the river, and from half Gilead, even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. And from the plain to the sea of Kinnereth on the east, and unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea on the east, the way to Beth Jeshimoth, and from the south under Ashdod Pisgah. And the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants that dwelt at Ashtaroth and at Edrei, and reigned in Mount Hermon, and in Salka, and in all Bashan, unto the border of the Geshurites and the Maacathites, and half of Gilead, the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Them did Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel smite. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it for a possession unto the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side Jordan on the west, from Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon, even unto the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for a possession according to their divisions. In the mountains and in the valleys and in the plains and in the springs and in the wilderness and in the south country, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The king of Jericho won. The king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, won. The king of Jerusalem, won. The king of Hebron, won. The king of Jarmuth, won. The king of Lachish, won. The king of Eglon, won. The king of Gezer, won. The king of Debir, won. The king of Gader, won. The king of Hormah, won. The king of Arad, won. The king of Libna, won. The king of Adullam, one. The king of Makedah, one. The king of Bethel, one. The king of Tapua, one. The king of Hefer, one. The king of Aphek, one. The king of Lasharon, one. The king of Madon, one. The king of Hazor, one. The king of Shimron Meron, one. The king of Aksaph, one. The king of Ta'anach, one. The king of Megiddo, one. The king of Kedesh, one. The king of Jokneam of Carmel, one. The king of Dor in the coast of Dor, one. The king of the nations of Gilgal, one. The king of Tirzah, one. All the kings, 30 and 1. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, it's a very simple chapter to summarize. We came, we saw, we did everything the Lord told us to do. That's essentially what the chapter says. It is the detailing in really brief terms of the march up the eastern side of the Jordan Valley, first taking care of Sihon, of Heshbon, and then crossing over the Jabbok and Arnon creeks up to the northern part. And Og of Bashan, remember, his kingdom extended this way, but all the way over into Lebanon. It was a great kingdom. Mount Hermon was included. So all of that area and that north country up there, but it originated on this eastern side of the Jordan River. So then after that, they came back down. They settled those lands and set their families up in those 2.5 tribes east of Jordan. And then they inserted over the Jordan Valley into Gilgal, and then first to Jericho, and then to Ai. And then notice how we just follow all the way through and in those combinations, those alliances that those kings formed in chapters 10 and 11 in the south and in the north, and how every one of them is detailed here, given a name according to their, not the names of the kings, but the names of the city-states that they ruled in. All 31 kings fell before Joshua and the children of Israel. That's essentially the chapter. It tells us that the Lord gave unto the children of Israel all the land that he promised to them. So, how many chapters are in the book of Joshua? Do you remember? 24 chapters, right? Yes, 24 chapters. Here we are. Joshua enters in to the land in 7. By the time we get to the end of chapter 12, we're done. Six chapters. Six chapters dispatch all of the Canaanite tribes that had been from the ancient days, from the days that the Lord had divided the world unto the nations after the flood, had been ceded to the Shemites, the descendants of Shem, and the Canaanites had come in as usurpers and inhabited that land. And the Lord now has given that land back to the descendants of Abraham, as he said he would, and as he promised Abraham. We begin with Og and Sihon, because they were the first under Moses to fall, and then after that we go to Jericho and then all the rest. And so the Lord did everything that he said he would do. And by the time we get to chapter 21, we're recapping everything. What do we hear about in chapter 21? What is it? 21:43, right? Joshua chapter 21, verse 43, "And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein." I know that there are those Christians that today look forward to a time when Israel will enter back into the land and the Lord will grant them all of that land. Brothers and sisters, it's important that we recognize the Lord fulfilled that promise. He fulfilled that promise in somewhere around the 13th century B.C. What are we now? The 20th century, right? So some 3,300 years ago, that was fulfilled. The Lord dispatched all of the enemies of Israel and gave his people that land. And this is what chapter 12 teaches us. The kings of the north, the kings of the south, those that allied themselves together and thought, if we band together, we'll be able to take care of them, proved ineffectual. The giants, right? Remember what we heard in the last chapter? The giant men, the giant armies, the giant places of the world. They were no match for Joshua and the Israelites when the Lord was indeed fighting for them. The other thing that I would simply mention, and then we'll move on, is that in all of these place names, does this not, as we think about it, does this not add a particular historicity and credibility to the narrative? Right? I remember reading a few years back a book by Dr. Gordon Clark called God's Hammer. It's a very interesting book. I'm highly recommended. But what's interesting in our understanding here today, being in Joshua chapter 12, is that Dr. Clark rightly mentions, he brings up, that there were scholars all the way up, ancient Near Eastern scholars, all the way up to about the 40s, in 1940, 1945, and they said, you know, the Bible speaks about the Hittites. They never existed. They're just legend. It's just embellishment. It's just legendary embellishment on the part of the Old Testament authors. And then there was this discovery made of several stela. You know what a stela is, right? It's a tablet, an ancient stone tablet with writing on it, detailing the Hittites and how they were defeated by some Eber nation. Yeah, Eber, from Eber, the father of the Hebrews. Now, we don't need that to believe God's word. We don't need a new discovery of some stela, some stone tablet, to to believe the Word of God. We believe it because God said it. And so these passages, like Joshua chapter 12, where all of these places are named unashamedly, what they do is they don't give us faith. The Lord does that through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and maybe even through the reading of a passage such as Joshua 12. He may give us faith according to His own sovereignty. But the giving of faith means that we receive the Word of God as the Word of God. Like Paul, the apostle, said to the Thessalonians, that when you heard the Word of God from us, you received it. Not as the Word of man, but as it is in truth, the very Word of God. Well, let's stand and continue praising God.